You know, I try to put the lessons together, and sometimes they seem to come together, you know, well, and sometimes they don't seem to really convey all of what I was hoping to convey. It just seems like there's just something missing. I'm not real happy with the name. I called this Romans because it come from, a couple of scriptures come from Romans where I started, but it's a little bit more, but I really just didn't know what to call it. It doesn't really matter, though, I guess. Romans 10:3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." You know, we read scriptures like this, and we try to keep things in context because context is very important. And but a lot of times, understand that it was necessary for this to be taught. And then we learn from that teaching. So when we read this, we can see who he was talking to and why. But understand that it also applies to us. Because I think for a lot of people, they read stuff like this and they think that because Jesus had been revealed and it was kind of tough in the beginning, that doesn't really apply to us because we now know who Jesus is. We've got the whole story, we've got the Bible, and we're not like those people. See, don't ever think that when God is speaking, that He's not speaking to you. Because when you sit down to read the Bible, who do you think God's speaking to? Do you think He's speaking to me? Do you get on the phone and say, "Calvin, this is what God just showed me, and I know He was speaking to you and not me," right? You don't do that, you know, because He's talking to you. So understand that context is very important for us to ground it in the truth, the characteristics of God. But God is always talking to us. So no matter where we're reading, even if it's the Old Testament, especially the Old Testament, God reaches out to us too, because people are always the same. We're just weird, and some are weirder than others. but we're just weird, you know? We just do odd things for no reason, it seems like. But see, the context here is Jewish ignorance and an unwillingness to accept who Jesus was. Because if you go to verse 1 of chapter 10, it says that my heart's prayer and desire for Israel is that they would be saved. See, Paul was a Jew, and so his countrymen, he wanted to reach out and he wanted them to see Christ like he did. But he knew it was going to be hard. You know why? Paul had to be blinded in order to see Christ. See, Paul, being a Jew, didn't accept Christ right off either. Matter of fact, he would have been one of the ones that killed him. Paul was there. You know how we know? Paul was an apostle. You know one of the qualifications of being an apostle? You had to witness John from Jesus, from the baptism of John until his resurrection. You know one of the things that you had to see? His death on the cross. The reason you had to see the death on the cross is because those apostles put their trust in that resurrection. So they had to see that Jesus was actually dead. They had to trust in that resurrection. See, we trust it because we read it. That's what he told Thomas. But they actually saw it. And when they told Thomas, Jesus is raised, he knew that he was dead because he saw him. But he didn't believe that he raised. See, we believe that he raised because of the words that they wrote. But they had to be assured of those things. Now we're assured because of them. So, you know, the context here is Jewish ignorance. But, you know, the only people that are ignorant weren't just these people here. You know who else is ignorant? You're looking at one of them right here. You know why? Because we are dead set on our way of life, our way of thinking. It is almost impossible to change us. You have to almost break us to change us and remold us. There seems to be this part of us thinking that our Savior would be like us. Part of the reason that the Jews didn't accept Jesus is because he wasn't like them. If a Savior's coming to save you, do you think that he would be able to associate himself with you? Of course. And so when they saw him and they saw Jesus and how he acted, he didn't act like them. And so part of it was that they, you know, I don't know about this Jesus guy. He's not like us. And so when we see he's not, we start to push back and we begin to look elsewhere. The Jewish nation as a whole, excuse me, they don't believe that Jesus was the Christ. They're looking for another Messiah. And they're looking for another Messiah because one of the biggest reasons, the biggest reason, is because after Jesus came and went, the Jewish nation wasn't restored. Right? Be like us. Think like us. Do it like us. But he didn't come to restore the Jewish nation. He came to bring the world together into one body, starting with the Jew, because they were the one promised a Messiah. And through them, the whole world would come together. You understand? So, anyway, when part of our ignorance and part of us not submitting to God is because He doesn't think like us. He doesn't appear to do things like us. So we have a hard time with that. We want it done our way. And we don't get it, we get upset. You go back to Job 28:1. He says, "Surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined." If you're looking for silver, where do you go? Job told you. If you want to be rich with silver, you go to a silver mine, because there's where you're going to find silver. You know why? It's called a silver mine. You know why it's called a silver mine? Silver's there, and that's what you're looking for. So that's why you go there. Job 28:12, "But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding?" You see, for us, there's so many answers to so many questions. If you want to be rich, there's a path for that. A lot of that includes a lot of self-destruction, a lot of cutting off people that aren't as passionate as you and will be a drain on you. I mean, if you really want to be wealthy, there's a way to do it. But it's a tough way to do it. But you've got to be committed to that. You've got to say, this is what I'm after. But if you're after wisdom, where do you go? Do you go to wisdom mine? Is there some of that somewhere? Right? Is it up on the hill past the silver mine, to the right of the gold mine? See, we know where to find gold. We know where to find silver. We know where to find answers. Problem is, we don't want to accept those answers when we find them. We don't like them because they're not of us. They're not what we wanted. They're not the answers we were expecting. They're not what we want. Do you think Job wanted to go through this? This wasn't the answer he was expecting from God. But he trusted God. He trusted in the characteristics of God. He knew God. He knew God loved him. But he also knew that God would discipline him. And it wasn't beyond Job's thinking that he might have done something to upset God. Or that he might have displeased God. Or that he might have started walking his own path. You see, that's not typically where we put ourselves, do we? We don't think in the gold mine that we're in an empty shaft, do we? We're in the gold mine. We're going to find gold. Never mind the vein has been tapped out here. We got to go somewhere else in the gold mine. But we think we know what we're doing. You see, our desire for this world can blind us to Jesus. Our desire for whatever it is that we're seeking, whatever we set our path to, can blind us. You see, you might say that the Jews were following the law and that the law blinded them to Christ. Now we do see scripture that says exactly that. That when they read the Old Testament law, there's the veil over their face so they can't see Christ. But see, what blinded them to that was that it wasn't what they wanted. You see, when they read the law, they had their understanding of the law. And by any means, these people mutilated and chopped up the law for benefits, for money. They weren't looking for the wisdom of God. If they would, they would have seen Jesus. God gave them all that they needed to understand who He was when He showed up. They didn't pay no attention. The church has been given all the wisdom to understand what the deception is in this world, but they don't pay no attention to it. They're just as happy going from one place to another. And we give our backing, our support, and our understanding, and our compliance, and our okay with somebody going to another place. Right? Drifting from place to place, from teaching to teaching, and they're okay. Wisdom can be found, but the reason we can't find it is our desire for something else is stronger. You see, we can see the value in gold, but we can't see the value in wisdom that comes from God. Who cares? Which would you rather have? To have enough money to never be in debt, to be able to make all the choices that you want to make, or to live extremely poor and have an understanding of God? See, as we grow, we can see the wisdom, the value and the wisdom from God as we grow older. But as we're younger, and some of us never mature, we can't see the wisdom of God. You see, a child, when you try to show them something, they're like, yeah, yeah, I know. Never done it before, but they know, right? Never done it before, but they know. Now see, as you get older, that's funny, because you know why you did that, why I did that, why all the kids do that. But did they really know? No, I didn't. You think I knew how hard life was? If it was, I would have went to school. So I didn't have to break my back my whole life. But nope, I didn't listen to nobody. You know why? Because I thought I knew everything. I thought I knew how to achieve. And see, that's the way we are with God. We don't see the value in His wisdom. Because it's not fun. It's not exciting all the time. It's not easy. Matter of fact, it's hard. Jesus said that whoever wishes to get eternal life and follow me will lose their life. But whoever loses their life for my sake will save it. So we can lose our lives and our families' lives for a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons. But Jesus says, if you want to find me, it will cost you your life. But once you've done that and you found me, I'll give it back to you. See, that's wisdom. Repetitiveness is wisdom from God. And so when we read the Bible and it goes over and over and over, we get bored with that. You know why we get bored with it? Because we stop listening to it. See, God showed in His wisdom that as He repeats things over and over, that we finally start to think and listen, and we put it together real slow. And so when He repeats, and so the reason repetitiveness bothers us is because we've truly stopped listening to God. We're not interested in His wisdom. We found all we need to know. We found the gold mine. We don't need no stinking map, right? We found the gold mine. We know there's gold in there. Just let me at it. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A good lifestyle is not going to produce faith. Anybody can live good. And you can read and have wisdom, but never really learn from that wisdom. The Jews had all the wisdom of God. From Abraham and the things that he saw. You know, the Bible says, we was talking about this last Wednesday, the Bible said that I speak to prophets in dreams and visions, but not so with my servant Moses. I speak to him face to face and not in dark sayings. That's pretty amazing to me. That's real amazing to me. See, now the Holy Spirit speaks to us that way because the Spirit illuminates and shows us the meaning behind the Word of God. It's spiritually discerned. He literally tells us what this Word means. It's not open to interpretation. The Holy Spirit interprets it for us. And it's already been written, so it's already been interpreted because it's already been told what to write. Now I've done run down the rabbit hole and I forgot where I was at. So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't make sense that a good person would not win a good person, right? When you have good people that have grown up and they've struggled hard to raise their kids, to hold their family together, to hold down a job, to do all the millions of things that it takes and all the sacrifices that it takes to come out on the other end of raising a family. And you would think that example would have produced goodness, right? You thought that, hey, if my life would have been a little easier, been a little more normal, that would have produced goodness. Do you know the Bible says the exact opposite of that? The Bible says that when you had good kings that raised a good that raised up good kids, you know what those kids turned out to be? Bad kings. You know why? Because they weren't looking for wisdom. They weren't in the fight. They were just looking for what was in it for them. You give a child everything, and you know what? They don't appreciate nothing. A child that doesn't have anything, you give him anything, they are appreciative. It doesn't even make sense, but we can wrap our minds around that. You see, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is able to do something that no deed could ever do. We'll see that in a minute. You see, God gave the Jews the wisdom under the law of Moses so that they could see Jesus. But the reason they didn't see Him is because they weren't looking for Him. They became blinded by something else. First John 5:19 through 20. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding that we may know Him who is true. All right. So, through the wisdom of God, He's told you that this world has some sway over you. You know what that sway is? It's the flesh. And if I'm wrong in this, somebody correct me, but we're never going to escape this flesh until we die. So while we're alive in this flesh on the world, to some degree, the devil's going to have some sort of control over us, some sort of pull on us. Now, God is stronger, but you know what? We don't want to listen. That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for the wisdom of God. The Jews had all the wisdom of God to see Him when He showed up, and they literally looked Him right in the face, and they didn't see Him. People literally saw Jesus raised from the dead and they didn't believe it. Are you better than them? Don't you think that it's possible that our mindset could fall back to where their mindset was? Is that they could accept the idea of a Savior. They could see a Savior. But they wanted a Savior that was the way they wanted. And that's what we come down on the Jews for. Jesus didn't give them back their kingdom. He did give them back their kingdom. He brought them into a better kingdom. But they didn't see it. And they had all the wisdom of God. But they weren't concerned about the wisdom of God. They preferred gold. And I'm not just talking about money. They just preferred things of this world. So be careful. Because, I mean, our jobs, our relaxation, our activities, our clothes, our hair. Yep. All these things. You see, all these things matter to us. And the devil knows that. And he knows that there is things in your life that matter more than the wisdom of God. And he uses those to blind you. And they're not always bad things. Do you understand? They're not always bad things. But he tells us here that we are of God, talking about the apostles, and the whole world lies under the sway. But I want us to see, the reason I put this up here is We know that the Son of God has come, and that was Jesus when He came in the flesh, and He is giving us understanding. And they took that understanding and they passed it along to you. Is the Bible the center focus of your life? It's not for me. You would think I would say that it would be, but you know what? The center focus of my life is just getting through life and trying to hold on to God. I've made that statement before. I mean, I got to go to work. I got to get the yard mowed. I got to get groceries. I got to know what we're going to have for dinner. I got to remember where I put things so that when somebody can't find them, they ask me and I know where it is because I'm the one that put them away. Okay? So my whole world is filled with just living. And the wisdom of God is there somewhere. And so I try to have times when I'm more focused. I try to take times when I have a moment and I can meditate. God's given us all this wisdom. And we do everything but. Everything but. Including me. I mean, you would expect somebody like me to tell you that this is the center, but it's not. I've got a life too. And so I'm working with you, but alongside you, with understanding that I'm sharing with you that came from the apostles so that we can all grow together. The more that we put the wisdom of God at the center of our life, the more that we will see God and we'll see it His way. Just because the knowledge is there doesn't mean we will see it. We got to be looking for it. Some people are real good at finding things. Like, you can ask my daughter, have you seen our keys? She's like, yeah, they're on the kitchen table. Okay, thank you. But then you tell her, go in the closet, go in the pantry and find the, get me the sugar. She'll open the pantry. She says, I don't see it. It's there. It's there. Just look for it. I don't see it. You know why? Because she doesn't want to look for it. She doesn't care to look for it. What difference does it make? You get up and get it. I don't want to take the time. We all have things like that in our life. She can remember where she saw the keys. We can't remember that. But I can tell you that the sugar is on like the third shelf up, second section, about the middle, right? There's probably something on top of it because the sugar lays flat and I know that we have to pile stuff. So it's probably something on top of it. Look for it that way. Look in that area right there first. I can remember that. But I don't know where I set my keys down 5 seconds ago. Right? Just because it's there doesn't mean we're going to see it. We got to be looking for it. And there's a point to all of this because how do we find the wisdom of God? Remember, we know where to find silver and gold. We know where to find jobs. We know where to find pleasure. We know where to find food. But how do we find the wisdom of God? Acts 16:14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. You know, the first time that we went over this scripture, and it literally wasn't the first time, but I'm talking about the past couple weeks. We've been delving into Job and looking at different things. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. That's where we focused. You see, the gospel message opens your heart so that you can see and hear the things of God. What you do with that is up to you. But the gospel message has the power to do something that nothing else on earth has to do. You know, your child may open your heart, but you may come to a place where you don't even have contact with your child anymore. A lover may open your heart and you may get married, but you may come to a place where your heart's not open to her anymore or to him. But see, the power of God can open your heart to understand and hear and see the things, the wisdom of God. Is there any value in that? There is. But see, this is what I saw the first time when we went over this. And this is why you never, ever stop going over Scripture, because you'll always learn something, always. You know why that the Word of God opened her heart and she heard the things of Paul? She worshiped God and she heard them talking about God. You see, the answer is she was looking for God. Do you understand? See, this wasn't just some wayward person that they walked up and started preaching the gospel and they just, boom, got zapped and fell on their knees and said, I see God. This was someone who was actively looking for God. Lydia heard us. She came over to us. She was a worshiper of God. And because she was seeking the truth of God, she was seeking the wisdom of God, those words opened her heart. Why? Because she saw value in the wisdom of God. You see, God doesn't sneak up on you or jump out at you. You're not walking along. You don't stumble and fall when one day you're a Christian. It doesn't happen that way. God doesn't say, let me tell you something, boy, you're going to work. And God wants us to work because there's a book in the Bible called Job, right? It's a joke. But I want you to work. You're going to work. You're going to get out. You're going to get a job. You're not going to make people be a Christian. You're not going to make people worship God. You're not going to make people see the wisdom in God, the value of the wisdom in God. They got to be looking for it. Now, you can be an example to that. But literally, that's only going to take you so far. And it doesn't really take you that far. Because there's a lot of wisdom in the way people live. In all walks of life. But we're talking about the wisdom of God. And so your example is important. I don't want to take away from that. But I want us to understand that our example will never save anyone. Our example is not going to take them but just a couple steps. They've got to be interested. They've got to be looking for this. See, the Word of God opened Lydia's heart because she was looking for Him. She put value in the wisdom of God. God's not going to grab a hold of you one day and say, this is your last chance, this is your last day. I know, trust me, it's your last day, make it right. He's not going to sneak up on you and do that. You know what will happen? God will simply pass you by. Because you're not looking for Him. There was a scary movie that came out, and it was called Saul. And you would think with a name like Saul that it would just been really gruesome and all that. I guess it was a little, but not much. And so what happened is it was the chance, right? The guy was in the bathtub, and when the plug came out, the key to unlock his chain swirled around and went down the drain. If he'd been looking for it, he would have saw it because it was illuminated. But he wasn't looking for it. All he was trying to do was get out of the water. Then he realized he was chained up. And so he was given a saw, and the chain, you couldn't saw through the chain, but you could saw through his hand or his leg or whatever it was. And you didn't see that, okay? I mean, but the idea was there. Is that had he been looking for the key, he would have got it. And the whole pretense was, is that the guy that set up this elaborate thing, he was dying. He was dying. Just simple by chance came upon him. So he put this simple chance upon other people. God has made Himself known to you. He's out there. You're not going to find God unless you're looking. You're not going to understand the wisdom of God unless you put value to it. Otherwise, it's just going to be a good idea from a good person and it makes good sense. No, we got to put the value in the wisdom of God Almighty. Because He says, you go into the gold mine, you know where it is, and you go in the gold mine to look for it. He said, but I made the gold mine. You think you're smart because you know what to do and go find silver and gold in the earth. I made the earth. I put it there. How smart am I? You see, he'll pass us by. Who was it? It was Elijah or Elisha, I think. It was up on the mountain, people were pursuing him, and he thought he was the last one left. And I may have a story confused here, but I know this part happened. Sometimes I put these things together. This great wind came by, fire, and all these different wonderful, magnificent things came by. It might have been Ezekiel. I just know that it was there, okay? I'm terrible about this part, but I didn't do my research, but it just popped in my mind. And so he was looking, and he was looking for God, and he said, I wasn't in any of those things. He says, I was in the still, small voice. Some people would say that that's where God is simply in our conscience. Well, we don't listen to that either. Our conscience tells us that we really shouldn't be doing this, and we do it anyway. So, there's the problem. We just don't listen. We don't look. We don't grow. We don't understand. We don't put value in any of this stuff. And if that's the type of person that you are, even though you're a good person and you read, you know some things about God, He will simply pass you by. Because you'll never understand, because we keep always asking the same questions. Why me? You know why there's Christians that are that have no place to go is because there's people that have no place to go that need God. You know why there are rich Christians? It's because there are rich people that care about their riches more than they care about God. Everywhere that you're looking for God, you will find Him. But trust me, He will change your path. You're not going to be the same person. We have to put value in the wisdom of God. If not, He's going to pass us right by. And Romans tells us that in the very beginning. It says that those Jews, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they may be saved. These were the people that Jesus came to. These were the people that Jesus died in front of. These were the people that Jesus worked miracles and healed. These were those people. And He says, I wish you could have seen Jesus. I'm here to tell you that we can become just as blinded. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached. And he had to preach the prophet Joel, he had to preach about David, he had to preach about the death and the resurrection, and that Jesus was the Christ. Why did he have to do that? They had the prophet Joel. They knew about David. They seen Jesus work miracles. They seen him die, and they seen him raised. Why did he have to go back over that? They weren't paying attention. After the fact, they look and they see, oh my gosh, I didn't put it all together. So if you don't put it all together, don't feel bad. You're in good company. The very first people that came into the church didn't put it all together. But when God has made Himself known to you, put some worth in you getting to know God. Because see, that's what happened. It wasn't a one-time event that Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a one-time acknowledgement of God. It wasn't a one-time idea that you had come and saw the Son of Man, that you saw the Christ, and that you accepted Him as your Savior. The Bible says that they continued steadfast, basically in the knowledge of God. You know what that knowledge was? It was the writings of the apostles. It was this table, it was prayer for one another, and it was for us gathering together on the Lord's Day. We hold on to these things, we put value in the Word of God. He will not leave. You will, but He won't. Be a person that stays and puts value in the wisdom of God. Because no matter how much is out there, if you don't see, if you're not looking for it, it's going to pass you right by. That's a fact. So when Peter stood up and he pleaded with these people, the reason that they put this all together and they're like, oh my gosh, is because they were really looking for the Son of God. They were really looking. But the difference before Pentecost and after Pentecost is the Holy Spirit. That's how much God loves us. He gave you something. He took all the wisdom that the Jews had in the writings, and He gave you the Holy Spirit to be able to understand those writings. How amazing is that? Thousands of years you had those writings. You didn't do nothing about it. I stood right in front of you, and I gave you all the information in the writings, but you still couldn't see me. And He said, I'll give you somebody that will tell you what these mean. So you can have all the knowledge of God staring you right in the face. But you know what? If you don't put any value in it, you'll tuck it away and forget where it's at. And one day, you'll look for it and it won't be there. That's our life. One day, we're going to wish that we had listened to the wisdom of God. Why? To make you smarter, to make you grow, to make you, you know, wisdom thugs, you know, that you just know everything? No, that's not what God is out here for. He's trying to save your soul because there's somebody out there trying to get it. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?
Jesus.